Scavenge Audio. Hey guys, welcome to another episode of View from the Cheap Seats. We are the Sklar Brothers. This show is about sports. It is funny. It hopefully will be funny. It's yep. Comedy and sports and our take on the world of sports. This week we have a fantastic guest. She wrote an amazing book. She writes for The Ringer. And her pieces are incredible and insightful. Mirren Fader is her name. And the book she wrote is about Giannis Antetokounmpo, called Giannis, The Improbable Rise of an NBA MVP. And it is fantastic.
Again, yeah, definitely a New York Times bestseller. It's a highly talked about book. It's fascinating. It goes deep into his life, a very interesting life. And we get into some of her experiences with that and her connection with the NBA and how she sort of came into this work. And there are a lot of other players out there who she's reached out to write their stories.
Dude, get in touch with her because she will write. I say dude to every dude out there. Get in touch with her because she will write the book about you that you need to have written about you.
She's proven it. She's proved it with this Giannis book.
And our Patreon fans, we talk about what didn't make it in the book, which is really interesting.
And how frustrating that was for her. It's
all right. Let's jump into the top take.
And we also have a great guest at the end of the show.
We do. Rudy Giuliani.
Rudy Giuliani.
There you go. All right. So top of the show, I want to talk about this because this is interesting that this happened and it sparks a very interesting discussion. And I'm telling you right now, normally I know exactly where I stand on this, but I really want to have a legit discussion.
Yeah, we started getting into it and we disagreed with each other.
I just want to have a legit discussion about where we come down on this and in how this is being handled. So Tony Hawk came out with his own skateboard, a limited edition of his skateboard, where he basically had vials of his own blood drawn and his own blood was smeared on the skateboards. For a while, at his height, Tony Hawk was skateboarding Jesus. Am I right?
Yeah.
Is that wrong to call him skateboarding Jesus? Biggest name in skateboarding.
Certainly in vertical skateboarding. Right? Certainly in the half pipes and in that world. He was the Shaun White of skateboarding.
There you go. And so the idea that he would put his own blood onto skateboards and sell them.
If you talk about the skateboarding universe, it was the Dogtown Z-Boys, all those guys from
the Zephyr team in Venice.
Team Zephyr for many, many years. And then after that era, Tony Hawk was sort of the biggest crossover. People who didn't know about skateboarding knew that name, who that guy was. And he did it for a very, very long time. And the guy, I think he just did a 720 or a 9 or a
you
10,
understand this
1,020 spin rotation on a half pipe at age 50.
And now he's doing Subway commercials, which, all right, that's fine. But look, you have to be a huge star in order to do a
crossover
Subway.
Enough.
Who's doing it? Steph Curry's doing Subway commercials. Serena Williams is doing Tom Brady and Tony Hawk.
Tony, I saw a video of Tony Hawk just driving in a car, rolling down his window. Anytime he saw someone with a skateboard, he's like, do a kickflip.
He said that to him?
And then the person would do it.
Do a flip!
Do a kickflip.
Do a flip.
He's huge, and I believe so.
But he got no grief for putting his own blood on the skateboards
because I think he has done so much for the skateboarding and for the sport of skateboarding.
Also, skateboarding is all about bleeding. It's all about falling down and cutting yourself and bleeding. That's what it is. If you don't have cuts and you don't have bruises and
you put your blood, sweat, and tears into skateboarding, it's about failure. The thing about skateboarding that I'm learning so much about it is that it is about your fails as much as it is about pulling off the trick.
So that's fine that all happened, but then Lil Nas X comes out because a few months ago,
maybe it was a year ago.
Year ago, Lil Nas X came out with a sneaker that he called the Satan's blood.
Satan's blood, yeah.
Yeah. So he had actual blood in the sneakers.
Yeah.
That he was selling. And those sold out, by the way. But he got a ton of criticism for it. And he's like, what? So he came out now and was like, why is everybody not criticizing Tony Hawk the way they criticized me? And I think he has somewhat of a legitimate point, but this is the point of argument. He's saying it's not because of the blood. That means absolutely nothing. It's because I'm a gay black man who's a rapper that I'm going to get this grief from people that I do. And some people are like, look, man, it's because you incorporated Satan in it. Well, anytime you talk about Satan in things, people are going to get...
We're still a religious country.
Based country.
And I'm going to argue this side of it. I disagree with that. That's a dumb attitude towards it.
I don't know if it's so dumb. I mean, people are looking for reasons to come down on this guy for whatever reason.
So I think
like
that's fair. I think that's fair. But I also think that if he had been in the rap game forever and sold a microphone that had blood in it.
Or a cowboy
or
hat.
Or a cowboy hat that's or an old country.
Cowboy hat with blood in it might be good.
Fine. If he did something like that, then that's more in the
line.
Realm of the of his biggest accomplishment. He like if I don't know, if Zion Williamson sold a shoe that had like blood in it and it's like, hey, if you want to make it to the NBA, it takes blood, sweat, and tears or whatever. And that's what these are. And
you think people wouldn't have been upset?
I don't think people would have been
Zion
upset.
What if Zion Williamson was gay?
I still don't think people would be upset.
Okay.
Because they're like, what made this guy. Basketball is what he did in order to rise, literally and figuratively.
What if he said, this is the blood of Satan and I made a pact with the devil and that's why I can do the things that
then
I'm
doing? Then he's going to get blowback.
You think he's
going to
get blowback?
From religious people.
You think
yes,
so?
Yes, I do think he is. So Lil Nas X, he's not a sneaker guy.
He could be a fashion guy.
He could be a fashion guy, but when it comes to sneakers, talking about basketball shoes, He didn't come up through
Stephon
sports.
Marbury couldn't even do a great documentary, by the way.
He couldn't even do
Starburys at Stephenberry's. Couldn't make those work. $15
nope.
Shoes that were, by the way, great idea. I watched the whole thing and like people from the hood were like, yeah, man, thank you for getting just shoes that actually, but then ultimately people didn't want to pay that for the shoes. People right. didn't like the actual shoes. But he's a basketball player and he couldn't do it. So you're saying like.
I'm saying it has equal parts. I agree with you that he probably got heat because he is a black gay rapper. Mm-hmm. So he probably got heat.
People were laying in wait for him.
People gave him crap for being racist. People gave him crap for being black. I would say that there are
homophobic
people gave him crap
for
being
gay.
And so he didn't get the benefit of the doubt. And then there's also, I think, a part of it is that he is not known for sneakers. That's not what he came up in this world being. To be honest with you, cowboy boots would have been more of what I would assume this guy is about because his biggest hit is
Old Town Road.
And that's where we know him from. And he's not, or a panini maker maybe that has it. I don't know.
That'd be great. A panini maker with just a little bit of blood in it.
So you decide. Let us know. Tweet us and let us know what you think. I mean, we disagree on this.
Should Tony Hawk get as much?
I don't think he should get any shit.
So then the question isn't should Tony Hawk get any shit? He should get none. And you think Lil Nas X should get less, but still a little bit.
I think I could, if the shit that Lil Nas X gets is because he didn't come up
as a sneaker guy
because of sneaker, then I would say, that's fair.
Fine.
You can argue with that there. Anything else I say is unfair.
Very good. Let's take a break. When we come back, the great Miren Fader. I can't wait to get in deep NBA discussion with her. Her insights into Giannis, his family, why he does the things that he does, what motivates him as a person. She has all that intel. It's fantastic. It's on the other side of this break. Stay with us. Hey guys, welcome back to the show. We are so excited to have this guest on our show. She just wrote a book,
It's out.
It's now out.
Out and it's great. New York Times best-selling book, and it's so relevant because it has to do with
world champion.
In my opinion, one of the most fascinating champion, you know, like star players on an American sports team right now. Giannis Antetokounmpo. It is fantastic to have you here, Miren Fader. Great writer for The Ringer. So happy to have you. Thank you.
Oh, thank you so much. This is great.
Really cool to just chop it up and kind of talk about, because in my opinion, you're part of the new wave of sports, of journalism, specifically sports journalism, which I think has an opportunity to sort of, you think of the old crusty sports writer and it's like a fat guy with a mustache.
Didn't we do on Cheap Seats like an eating contest, like where the food tray was like 89 chicken wings and 400 chicken tenders and all these other things. And we were like, or a meal for a sports writer.
Right. That's and they say you come to the games for the food. That's the old joke.
That's right. But I mean, and we knew them all. Like we knew those guys. But I feel like there's a new wave of, and it's with you know, just the way things are written, the way we're receiving them on blogs, and how you get your information is just totally different. And it's just cool to interview someone who is a part of that new wave.
Yeah, everything is different. You know, I always hear from my mentors, like, when I was doing this, we could just have this amount of access. And, you know, our generation doesn't have those advantages, but we are more diverse. And the way the information is being disseminated is different. It's constant. And I don't know, you just have an intersectional lens when you're viewing things.
Do you think you write things from with not your own, but your own perspective in mind? It's hard to like not put that lens on whatever you write.
Were you a basketball fan first, or were you an all sports fan and just kind of fell into the basketball stuff?
I was basketball everything. I wanted to be in the WNBA. You guys know I'm 5 feet tall. Yeah. That didn't work out.
Nope.
But I played my first year in college. And
you did?
I did.
For who?
I was a
for
point guard for Lewis and Clark College.
That's where both of our wives went to school.
Shut
Holy
up.
Snap. Portland, Boom. Oregon.
Pios, okay.
Okay, that's right.
Amazing. And I ended up transferring to Occidental College, and I stopped playing, but I wanted to write.
Was that on purpose, or was it Occidental?
Folks, stop.
We'll be right back.
Get out of here. Get out of here.
Rude.
Leave.
My alma mater, you know, Barack Obama went there.
I'm just saying.
Look, we know. It's legit.
He made an Occidental.
I just made a dumb joke. All right. So you switched, but then you stopped playing basketball. So basketball was a passion since you were a child.
Absolutely.
Since you were little.
Yeah.
Were you like all city player?
Yeah.
Like you played on a very high, were you recruited to play?
Yeah. Well, the thing was, I wanted to play Division I basketball.
Of course you
did.
And
I was like, so determined. All I did was basketball. Like, if you saw me, I would have a basketball at my
dribbling.
Hip. Yeah. Like, my friends used to make fun of me for bringing, like, a basketball to the Grove. And I'm like, you wanted to dribble? But, yeah.
That's
it was
so great.
Yeah, it was my whole life. And
sure.
I went through, I had awful injuries, which really prevented me. All the places that were recruiting me stopped. And the only one that still recruited me was good old Lewis and Clark.
How did it feel to be recruited? Just even, let's say, pre-injuries, how was it?
Were they coming at you?
Not like that, because keep in mind I am five feet tall and
right.
the people that, you know, it was an uphill battle, but
literally.
Mm-hmm, but that was good. Thanks. And you know, the people that were recruiting me were like really smart schools, and that was education was first, so it was a lot of Ivy League schools that are Division I, and to me that was the goal. I was like, oh man,
I'm gonna use basketball
to go to it to get a scholarship to play at a school and then get a great education and then not do
move
basketball.
On.
Exactly. And then my body was like, nope. And
what was the injury?
I tore like every ligament in my foot.
Oh my God.
It was horrible. It was right at the summer where you're supposed to be recruited, and then I had to sit out the whole summer, and then I ended up
playing like summer ball and whatnot in those leagues.
And you in just like AAU.
Stepped weird, or you had or it jumped was, and landed on someone's foot.
Okay, it was the worst. I was playing in a like a fall league game, mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. this girl was guarding me, and I went up for the three, and when I came down, she was under me, and so I stepped on
her foot.
Her foot, and then my foot just
crumbled.
Yeah, crumbled.
Where is that woman now?
Can
we go after her?
Can you at her?
She's not writing for the Ringer, I'll
tell
you that.
She's not a Ringer, I'll tell you that.
She made a
writer out of you. She birthed your authoring career.
She did, because everything went wrong after that point.
Or right. You're sitting here.
At the time, I thought everything went wrong. Now I'm like, oh, thank God. You know, thank God basketball ended.
So that is amazing, and that's a wonderful place to start, because nobody understands the sort of the preparation, the mental aspect of it,
the development,
and then of course the anguish of a moment where it all was in front of you, and then it was taken away by a weird chance thing.
Exactly.
That almost happened to Giannis in the finals.
Yes.
So he goes down with the knee injury in the series leading up to the finals, the second to last game or the third to last game. And are you watching that? I mean, does your foot get like a phantom thing in your own foot? And you're like, God damn it.
So triggered.
But
it was a total hyperextension.
I'm amazed that he came back from that.
Well, I almost forgot that he was injured, because he played so well. Otherworldly,
yeah,
you know?
Came back.
And that is not something to play with. Like the way it twisted, I really thought it was a weird,
like your legs should not look like
right.
a bow,
like a
from
C.
the bow and arrow. Yeah.
I wasn't even thinking end of series. I was like, what if this is the end of his career?
Could have been.
You know?
He crumpled like he folded like
he's a tough, tough human being. It has to take a lot to take somebody out of the game like that.
So you wrote the book about the rise of this guy, an unlikely NBA MVP, because
He's not American.
Right.
He's got a name that's hard to pronounce.
Right.
Yeah. I think like his goal should have been, like, for us as Sklar, S-K-L-A-R, very difficult for people who don't know your name to pronounce. It's three consonants in a row. People want to put a Y in there. Skyler, Skackler.
That's how we were down in San Diego doing shows, and God bless, the guy was very nice. He was the manager of the comedy club. First night, Thursday night, we're backstage. He comes back, man, I love you guys.
Biggest fan.
Since the Comedy Central specials back in the early 2000s, I've been a fan of yours forever. So glad to have you down here. And we're like, thanks, man. That's awesome.
He's so
like,
all right,
I'm going to announce the show, and then I'll be on the God mic. We're like,
going to be great.
Thanks, my man. He goes back to the back. Ladies and gentlemen, your headliners tonight. Let's make some noise for the Skyler Brothers.
We're like,
Skyler Brothers.
Although I feel you very hard on this. Is it Marion? Is it Myron? Is it Marin? Is it Maria? I'm like, you read?
Mirren.
Yeah.
Mirren.
Like Helen Mirren.
Helen Mirren. That's what I say.
It feels very obvious to you, and ours, at least they're not putting other letters in the words. Skyler, Skyler.
So whenever you get customer service or you call someone and
we used to do a bit about this.
There's an official person, you have to pronounce it and say it because they're going to get it wrong.
Oh, yeah.
So one time our mom was on the phone on hold with someone, and she's in St. Louis, and she says, it's Sklar, what's your last name? Sklar. And the person was like, oh, you mean like the Sklar Brothers? And she was like, yes!
Oh,
yes,
my God!
Like the Sklar Brothers.
That's a tiny example, but
you made it.
Giannis has to make it to a point where his last name becomes easy for people to say.
Like Giannis and Tua.
I'm telling you, it's not that hard.
Antetokounmpo is
there
easy.
There you go.
We got it.
You got it.
Tagovailoa.
That is a lot, and I know it is.
But we're here. We're almost there.
Antetokounmpo, I think he is just one of the most. He did one thing, and I'm sure you saw this. Like, after the finals, he's at Chick-fil-A the next day. He did that whole, Instagram Live.
50 piece.
Not 49.
Not 49. Not 51. Okay. 50. So what was the 50 for? Was the 50 for the 50 points he scored, or the 50 years it's been between?
You know, nobody's brought that up.
Titles. So
but it could have been a double meaning.
A double meaning.
There you go.
But he had the trophy, and whoever was with him, was that his girl? I don't know who it was. And she was like, she's like, you got both trophies.
Hey.
And he said something that made me love him so much, because you know these dudes.
I want to hear if we're right to make this.
You've been around these dudes, and there is so much bravado. Like, only the rap game has more bravado than male athletes.
Totally.
Okay, female athletes are the coolest because they also have
rap game and spelling bee, kids.
That's just it.
That's it.
No, but like, he was like, I brought them with me because I was afraid I was going to wake up from this and it was going to be a dream and it would all be gone.
Take
it
away from me. Totally. Is that who he is?
That is who he is. It's ironic that he said that, because one of the refrains throughout the book is something that he and his brother say all the time, which is, what if we wake up and we were back to where we started?
Mm-hmm.
Because no matter what he achieves, there's always this fear that it can be taken away.
Yeah.
And there's always this present gratitude. And so when he says that,
feel it.
He really means it.
I feel it from
Dude. I interview so many guys, like you said, that are just so, trying to prove to you that they are, the most
toughest,
masculine,
hardest.
Toughest, hardest dudes. And Giannis is just like a breath of fresh air.
He's like, I am tough.
Yeah.
I am hard. I came back from that injury that we all thought could have been career ending.
But I'm vulnerable. I'm going to be
honest. You can
honest.
Be both.
And I'm empathetic.
I want him to come out of the closet. Like, you imagine if like that, it's not going to happen, but I'm just like, but imagine if a dude like that.
Yeah.
Randy and I said it has to be like Ray Lewis.
And then everyone would be like.
Like Von Miller. If like Von Miller came out of the closet, would be like, oh, all right. So now what do we do?
I know.
Now what do we do with our feelings? Like, now what do we do with our. This guy has to be in this box, and this sexual orientation has to be in this box. Because
I mean, the guy who was the defensive end
for the Raiders.
Yeah, he came out, and it was so funny because he came out and was like, "Yeah." Everyone on the left was like, "Yes, I love this guy so much." And then he's got like all these Republican views, and they're like, "No,
I know.
Why?
Those two things can't align. But I'd say good for you for being who you are.
Exactly.
So back to what we were saying about
people wanting to tell you how great they are all the time. Like it, the Walter Payton quote, which I'm sure you know, but this is one of the best quotes of all time, which is when you're good, you tell everyone. When you're great, they tell you. Mm-hmm, so mm-hmm. that's the way I feel like Giannis kind of is, at least the way he comes off in many ways. I think guys like Chris Paul are a little bit like that. Maybe I'm wrong about that, but that's the impression I get. I think Donovan Mitchell is a little bit like that. And when Shaq pressed him earlier this year, and it made everyone uncomfortable, and then he rose to the challenge. But like, because he's not that guy.
Right.
I love those guys so much more who just don't say it.
I love it. And the thing with Donovan is like he could have been so angry and defensive, and he was just like, "All right, okay,
okay, you feel that way, okay."
You know, and I think for me, like a lot of my approach is trying to get to that human part and the most masculine, loudest. Like I profiled Pat Beverly. And I profiled him for that reason, because I wanted to see if there were softer, more vulnerable sides. And
what's
like
what's underneath.
And the truth is they're all like so many of them are like that. The people you think are so confident and so tough, they are just normal human beings, and they go through things that we do. And so, you know, I hope my work, you know, really tracks that, those universal themes. Like
it does.
Pat Beverly is still holding on to pain from when he was 8 years old, you know? And so it makes sense to me why he is the way that he is. It makes sense to me why Giannis plays as hard as he does, because here's what he's been through to create this person.
Here's the narrative that led you to this moment. You right. see him standing on the podium. You see him hugging his brother right. after they win the championship. And that was like the deepest, most beautiful embrace ever.
Ever.
And then you say to yourself, I know everything that, because you know, because right. you researched the book and right. you know his life. You knew every, you know what that embrace means.
It's Veronica, the mom, washing their one pair of socks after selling trinkets outside for 14 hours, putting a smile on her face because she wants her boys to have a happy memories of childhood. It's Thanasis, you know, playing overseas in Spain, not being jealous of Giannis's career, and was the first one to wake up at 5 a.m. and calling him to mm-hmm. congratulate him on his first All-Star appearance. Like, that's right. there's close, and then there's this family's close. And Giannis's story is his own, but it's really a family story.
Totally. And he keeps family, like, close.
Right.
That's almost like he leads with family.
Absolutely.
In all of his public, you know, like, I think I made a joke when I forgot the coach.
Budenholzer
was talking to how much the tweet I made. He was talking about how great the team was, and Giannis was on like FaceTime with his brother.
Yeah.
And to me, that's like, and the joke I made. It's like, you know, when you're a parent and you turn to your kid and you tell them how much they love them, and you love them, and they're FaceTiming their friend at that moment.
Right. Right. Exactly. But exactly.
Seriously, I feel so close to you. I love you so much. He's like,
yeah, it's great. Yeah.
No, I'm right here. I'm on listening. TikTok. But that was that moment. But in that moment, you're like, yeah, he wants to, in this great, great moment of his life, share this
rope the rest of his family in.
You know, every moment of the book, it turned into a family anecdote. When I was researching, you know, when the Hawks wanted to take Giannis and they had all these secret meetings in Italy, the one thing Giannis said to them was like, I want my parents to come to America. I want my brothers to have a private education. You know, it's like at every moment, it's them. And, you know, Kostas told me, yeah, he was like, look, Giannis's goal, of course, is to win a championship, but it's also to have all of us achieve this dream together and all of us wear an NBA jersey.
I love the guy so much.
How can you not love him?
So his is also, in my opinion, this incredible story of growth.
Yeah.
Because it's not like he stepped on the scene as the Greek
He wasn't
freak.
LeBron.
Oh,
he was
no.
not LeBron.
Oh,
LeBron
no.
came into the league with all the expectations.
Which kind of is like, when you think about that,
think about what LeBron's been able to do with like
God.
The weight of it all and showed from the beginning. He came in, he was 6'9", right?
190.
Just a scrawny, skinny thing.
Who could move and whatnot. By the way, 6'9", you're a power forward or you're some sort of, because he didn't really have a shot.
Right.
It was less of a shot.
Kind of like a rangy wing slash like forward.
Yeah. I mean, the people that scouted him at the Bucks were like, I don't know how to project this guy because
right.
I don't even have good enough quality film to evaluate him on. You
and
know?
He gains 50 pounds.
Right.
Excuse me. Almost, yeah, 50
pounds. Grows a couple inches.
Grows a couple
inches. 6'11".
6'11", 50 pounds, and suddenly you're like, this guy. And I'm talking growth in the playoffs.
Oh,
the
my
fact
God.
That in the final game he scores 50 points is just incredible when you see how many people, you look at playoff P,
right.
come on, give
right.
me a break.
Hello.
Guys who shrink from the moment.
Exactly.
But he scores 50 in the most important game that he has to score those 50. He goes 17 of 19 from the free throw line.
His greatest weakness.
I'm watching the game with my dad and he turns to me, he's like, what if he wins the game off free throws? And I was just, we were just dying, you know, because how funny would that be? You know, I mean, it's amazing.
Paul George, and not to go back to playoff P, but Paul George had a chance in game two
to seal it,
against Phoenix, and he misses two or three free throws out of four.
See, I think if the Clippers got past Phoenix, right. I think the Clippers would have been a tougher matchup for the Bucks. And I think this could have been the first year the Clippers were hoisting a trophy. Were it not, I think the wrong guy got injured. If it was Paul George who went down and Kawhi was still there, I think Kawhi would have done the things he needed
maybe,
to do.
Maybe, but I just think that it was such a beautiful story for all these reasons. A, because Giannis is a guy you love to get behind.
Right.
B, because it's a small market team, which, and they built it with one, it's not a super team.
Right. It's and it's a team that almost left. We forget. Like, they could have been the Supersonics. Like, they were in grave danger of leaving this city.
Crazy.
Here Giannis comes along and saves them from oblivion.
It's amazing.
Does Seattle ever get another team? What do you think?
I don't think so, but I hope so.
I want them to.
I mean, that whole thing is just...
It's insane.
It's insane. It's tragic.
I mean, I like that Oklahoma City has a team. I kind of like it.
Right.
It's, like, it's cool. Good for that part of the country. Like, obviously, we grew up in St. Louis and we didn't have a team.
Right.
I mean, so, like, we grew up without an NBA team. So... It's kind of fun for us because I can enjoy the NBA from a distance that
Who's
has
your team?
No attachment.
Lakers.
You're
I'm
the
from
Lakers.
Here.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So when you're watching a Lakers game, I'm going to ask you: was your dad a fan of basketball, or did he become a fan because you were so good at it?
Became a fan. Like in fifth grade, when the Lakers played the Sixers, I remember my family was like, "The only reason we're watching this is because of you."
That's amazing.
Isn't that cool? Yeah.
That you brought it to
you
them.
You wrote them into it.
Oh,
you
my God.
It,
all of our memories are so deep with basketball. I made my parents take me to Storrs, Connecticut so we could visit UConn because I was obsessed with Diana Taurasi. One of my favorite birthday presents was like going to Boston to watch a women's Final Four in 04. Like just
Diana, the U.S. women's basketball team is my favorite. Like those guys and Diana Taurasi, their interview at the end of the whole thing. I'm like, I love these two guys so much. She is such a baller. She's one of those people who's like, be quiet, carry a big stick, and just whoop ass.
I ruined my hair as a young person to strike it back to be like the DT bun. You know, like at that time, women's basketball players weren't framed as ballers. And then Taurasi comes in with this swag and she clutches the ball on her hip and she does these passes.
No look, like court long passes.
And
like,
it was like cool.
She could score the rock, but she also was smooth. She had flow. She had flow.
She transcended gender in many ways.
And
which
Kobe loved her.
Kobe loved her.
And once he got that in, you know, I feel like everyone was like, wow, like she can she can really hoop. Like she's just, oh my God. My entire life, I think, has been like.
So you loved her from afar, but I want to talk about your fandom about your own team because we talk about this all the time about how, you know, when we watch our own teams play, it is not a fun experience. It is.
So the Lakers get knocked out. Obviously, there's injuries and stuff, and they're not really a full.
But as they're starting to go down, that can't be fun to watch for you. Like, there can't be joy in saying, I'm going to watch a Lakers game. We're like Bill Self. We always say this. Bill Self's quote. He said,
if you win,
winning's a relief. Losing is a disaster. Yeah. There's no joy
that. No, especially because now, like, it's my job. So it's different than when I was a kid, you know? I used to be, like, I used to look forward to coming to this school every day and getting the LA Times and, like, reading the column about the Lakers. And, like, that was, like, a big part of, you know, Plaschke. Yeah. What is he going to say about the Lakers? Plaschke. You know, and it's just, like, classic. And now it's, like, so different because I've been in these locker rooms and it's still... Oh my God, I'm in the Lakers locker room. It's still so cool to me because that's my team.
Right.
But then it's different. You know, I profiled Andre Drummond this year, and that was such a hard feature because he was so up and down.
Yeah.
And so looking at the Lakers through Andre's eyes was like such an experience. But it was, the joy is different. But I will tell you, I became a Bucks fan because I was rooting for obviously my book and Giannis.
That's right.
And I haven't felt joy like that in a while. Like, I would wake up and I'd be like, it's game day. You know, I haven't felt that, you know?
So once the Lakers were out and you're like, okay, I got to be excited about something. And I wasn't sure what I was going to root for.
Right.
Same.
Right.
I just want a good series. I wanted it to go seven, but like.
It was good.
But when I'll talk to friends.
First two games, you're like, this is going to be a sweep.
No, I know.
Forget it. Milwaukee, you're done. Giannis is hurt. It's going to be a sweep. And then all of a sudden they come back.
2-2. And you're like, what's this series going to be?
Amazing.
It was a great series. I can be so generous with friends. Like I have friends who a comedian friend Jeff Tice, who's a great basketball player. He played D3, and he's just
huge Nuggets fan.
Huge Nuggets fan.
Biggest Nuggets fan ever.
And
we're like, it's a great time to be a Nuggets fan. Yeah. By the way,
yeah. Huge Nuggets fan. And so I'll be watching games with him and just texting him like I'm watching at home and he's watching in Denver. And he'll be like, in playoff games or in the bubble specifically, when they were like down and I'm like, you got this. You still have this. With like, they're down by four. And he's like, nah, man, it's over. And I'm like, you got this. And I'm like, if it was my team and we were like up by three, I'm like, we lost.
We lost.
No way. We don't have a big enough cushion. We lost.
Right.
So I'm like sitting here able to talk someone else off the ledge, enjoying the game, saying we don't know what the outcome's going to be. But as soon as you start to get your own rooting interest involved, it
By the way, that display in the bubble, Donovan Mitchell, Jamal Murray, like those two dudes, 50 points, 50, that series and those guys, to me was one of the, I think it made the bubble.
Totally.
Dame Lillard and those two.
I mean, we are so lucky right now as basketball fans. Like, I think there's so many, people that are not appreciating this enough. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The talent is absurd. And half of them aren't from here. Like, there's something really cool going on right now.
Super cool. Luka, I think, is like the next. Luka is, he's to me, amazing. Like the next. To me, he's like the closest thing to Larry Bird that we have. Like, if you're like, he's the next Larry Bird. Nope. Luka is the next Larry Bird because everyone fears Luka. Luka has an opportunity to bust you for 48, 50 points in a game.
But here's the thing. You knew so much about Larry Bird when he was in his prime. You knew stories of being back home in Indiana, and you knew the competitive fire, and you knew the anecdote about being in the three-point contest and, okay, who's playing for second? You knew all these gems about him, right? What do you know about Luka?
Nothing.
And
very
why
little.
Is that?
Because
you haven't written the book about his motherfucker.
I have a request out for Luka for 2 years now.
Dude, push for
Manifest
that.
Manifest it.
Write that book.
That's right.
Putting it out in the universe.
Thank
I want you.
You
to write that book.
Thank you. I want it to.
And just call it My Name is Luka.
you know what? I really, this whole first name thing is really working.
There you go.
Luka.
Yeah.
Is it, you know?
My name is Luka. There you go. He's amazing. Yeah, I think he's incredible. But so if you live in Dallas, you're excited about your team.
Right.
If you live in Denver, you're excited about your team. If you live in Utah, you love your team.
Oh my God.
LA, both teams, you love them. The
Brooklyn, you love your team.
We got a shot. Golden State, like they're like, wait till we get Clay back. We've got a team. Even, you know, Portland was like, we got Dame. I'll go to the Rose Garden to watch them.
Oh, also Milwaukee. Also Phoenix.
Yeah, exactly.
Like the guys who were in the finals.
Atlanta Trey. Ice Trey to me. I was so mad that, like, why didn't the U.S. Olympic team grab him?
I don't know.
This dude putting foreign people on skates?
Just everything about him is just so damn cool.
Someone tweeted that his hair looks like it's being controlled by an imaginary magnet.
Okay, these fans are so mean. Oh, my God.
We said his hair is so wispy it's messing with the Wi-Fi.
did you read that?
How am I down to two bars? I'm in America.
Okay, did you read? This is maybe the funniest thing we saw the entire, this in a
please,
long time.
This is, I know you're aware of it. If you're not, I'm going to send it to you. The guy who was begging Del Curry to go back to his wife in that Twitter.
Did you see that Twitter chain where he's like, you don't want to be out here. They pegging
out here.
You think you want to be out
here. You like charcoal ice cream? You better learn to like it.
Oh, my God.
You know group chats? You're going to be the subject of one. Go back to your lovely wife.
And the fact that it just started with one word and an emoji, it was just perfect.
Tulum ?
I was like, this could have been like, you know, you talk about like shouts and murmurs on the back of like the New York magazine. I'm like, this
is what it is now.
Exactly. You could print that. It's 50 tweets. It's New Yorker. It's
so
50
great.
Tweets. You could have done that.
Oh,
it's so great.
Lord.
It tells you the world. All right. So let's talk about the NBA next year because we're kind of like, you know, in a little bit, we're gearing up for the season again. It sounds crazy to think about that.
Clippers got Kawhi back.
Right.
They have to be.
But he's not going to play this year. I mean, Kawhi won't play a whole season because of a hangnail. So, you know what I mean?
There's that.
Well, will he come back if they head to the playoff? Like, what are they saying?
I don't know, to be honest. And I've been trying to profile Kawhi for so many years.
Forget it.
He's the one uncrackable.
He's a very, very closed off dude.
But I think
he's on the spectrum, and I know that, and I don't want to say that in a way to say that
it's not
lightly.
Negative. It's saying that might be an exclamation.
I think we don't, because he's so prolific at a very outwardly sort of like something that seems like he's socially meshing with a team. So they're like, oh yeah, he's playing basketball with a team. He's, right. he's how can he possibly be on the spectrum? You look at his responses and the way he talks after games and the way he cannot read social cues in many ways. I'm like, let's honor maybe that. Like, that might be part of it. And what an amazing story that would be.
Kawhi, respond to my emails, please.
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 She needs to write a profile on you. So, I mean, it's so wide open. Don't you
it's
think
so
it's
wide
ridiculous?
Open.
Can you remember a time when it's been this wide open where we haven't known who's going to win?
No. And obviously, you hear from all the Brooklyn people, like, look, if KD had a different shoe size, we would be champions. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I know they're mad. And I know Lakers. I mean, Russ. I mean, I'm excited.
What do you think? Are you excited?
I'm so excited.
Because
and you already
of
know
what?
I'm trying to profile
Will
Russ.
He learn what he's supposed to do? Is he going to
Is he going to do the thing that he's never been able to do his entire career? He's going to change his spots? Are we really going to see that?
I don't know. There's not enough space on this court for all these people. I mean, how does that literally work?
Has it become a load management thing for LeBron? Meaning like, okay, Russ, I know you got to get your stats. You go and you do your thing and we'll let LeBron sit and it's like, better than having, you know, Kentavious Caldwell Pope out there doing his thing. He's fine, but
how are you going to win without Kyle Kuzma?
You know what? I'm so happy that the Kyle thing has been resolved because I feel like that was hanging over
Everybody.
The franchise every second.
There were murals of him in this city. We high expectation. You don't get a mural painted on an overpass if they don't think you're going to be good.
Unless you die.
But I'm just saying.
No, then you're on a t-shirt. Then you're airbrushed.
Then you're airbrushed on a t-shirt.
Okay.
But airbrushed on the
off
side.
Off of Figueroa. Yes.
Just highway with flowers on it.
Or on a rug hanging over the side of a fence. Okay? And give me one of those Kyle Kuzma's area rugs.
Still out there.
Still there.
I need it for my garage. Yes, my car's leaking.
It's leaking oil.
$5.
But I mean, so you think the Lakers got better?
Yeah.
Got better with Russ? Because a lot of people do. I just am asking. I'm curious to hear what someone in the real know.
I think they got better, but I think that this is one of the mistakes that we often make with basketball is we can analyze it till we're blue in the face and write think pieces, but this is the type of thing where you just have to put it all out on the court and see how
it
goes.
Because
the spacing and the chemistry, it takes time to get used to each other. It's not just like, wow, he's so talented and he's so talented and he's so talented and therefore we will be talented. Mm-hmm. How many times have we seen that go wrong, especially in Lakerland? So...
Yeah, because if you look at like and kudos to Chris Paul for finally making it to a finals.
Yeah.
I'm sad he didn't win because I love that dude. I think he is like maybe the best point guard, one of the best.
Best short point guards.
I mean, he represent.
I put
Speaking
him up
to a short
I'm
guard.
Thinking, but him and Stockton, I put them kind of in a similar category, even though Stockton made it to the finals a couple times. But like I put them in the very
and Steve Nash maybe too.
How disappointing that Stockton is like.
Oh, like anti-vax and just weird. Oh, my God.
Broke my damn heart.
Yeah, right. I'm like, come on,
dude. Like, you taught me how to pick and roll. How dare you?
How dare you?
You taught me how to wear short shorts. How dare you? Shorts, if they're any shorter, they'd be a belt.
If they were any higher, they'd be a necklace.
Making the mailman look good. Like,
I know, man.
That guy's crazy.
That guy's crazy in his own right. He is not 100%.
We did an ESPN the weekend, like, in Orlando so long ago, man. This must have been, like, this is when we had cheap seats. So it's maybe 15 years ago. And we did like a Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? Didn't we host it? Like a Who Wants to Be a Millionaire show with Karl Malone. And Karl Malone shook my hand. First of all, his hand was like a catcher's mitt. It was so big. So big. It like enveloped my whole hand.
Like anything that gets near the hoop, he's going to
just. And he had the softest hands. It was like slipping into velvet. I love this dude. And he was so nice and so
he
cool.
He was really
him
nice.
And David Robinson.
And CC Sabathia was actually there and like kind of probably going through a ton of stuff his own.
Yeah.
But he was
Dontrell Willis, I feel like, was there too.
Dontrell Willis was great too. When Dontrell Willis was good pre like throwing the ball over the backstop.
That's so cool.
Yeah, it was
very old times.
All right, should we take a break?
Let's take a break.
We could talk to you for hours. We could talk to you forever. We'll
have you
back when the season's
absolutely.
Rolling.
We're gonna take a break. When we come back, three stories happen in the world of sports. We'll break them down with you and get your thoughts on it. We have all the details.
And we'll talk about your book and how people can get it, because why not keep it on the bestseller list?
It's The Improbable Rise of an NBA MVP, Giannis.
Yes.
Okay. Miren Fader, she's with us. We'll be right back with more of you from the Cheap Seats right after this. Yes, I should stop looking out for you like I always do. Hey guys, welcome back to the show.
people can get Miriam Fader's book. It's
first of all, follow her on social.
Follow her on Twitter. Follow her on social. Read all of her stuff. Because if you follow her on Twitter, you can get to her website. And there's some awesome pieces. The Breonna Stewart piece, right?
Breonna Stewart. Yeah.
I want to keep saying Breonna Taylor, but it's Breonna Stewart, who I think is, to me, the future of U.S. women's basketball. I love her.
Oh, my God.
She's
I love
amazing. Her.
She was like, going to outwork everybody. She missed a bunch of shots in the Olympics this year, but I'm like, those shots are going to fall next Olympics.
I think she's the greatest of all time.
I love her. Right, so, and she's got cool. Yeah. She's funny and self-deprecating and cool. I'm just like, ooh, I love her. And Taurasi was like, I'll see you in France.
Right?
She's like, it's only 3 years away. I'm coming back.
Right?
You better come back.
Taurasi's never going to stop.
She's never going to stop.
Never going to stop her. But you can pick up the book at Amazon and wherever you get books. Am I right?
So, Skylight, Romans, Chevaliers.
In LA. LA. These are all the LA places. But if you don't live in LA and you want to
read order this damn book. It's
a great
so
book
good.
About Giannis. If you're like, man, I just want to, while I can soak up the last few rays of the summertime. This is a great read for Labor Day weekend, this podcast is going to drop the week of. It drops on the Friday before Labor Day. Pick this book up. Get it on your Kindle. Read it over.
Or how about this even, too? If you like to walk, like I walk for an hour and a half every day. All right, or I try to if I can. And I run through all podcasts and all that stuff. Please listen to our
book
podcast.
Audio
that shit.
Who read it?
I read it.
Yeah, she read it.
You love her voice on this podcast.
And we hope so. Mm-hmm. And I would like to tell your listeners, I worked hard with a Greek speech coach, okay?
Did you really?
I had to pronounce
all those words.
It
of course
was
she did.
Now she
so
can go to
crazy.
Any Greek restaurant and order anything. Spanakopita. Right. She knows it.
She knows it.
Souvlaki.
Oopa. Oopa. She knows how to say it. She says oopa and they start a fire. All right.
Fired up.
So get this book on tape. You can hear her reading it. A book on tape is such an old way to say it. Go to audible.com. I love those guys over there or wherever. And listen to it. As you take a walk, it's a fascinating listen. It's an amazing story about a life that we all kind of know
about
a little bit about.
That you will love. You think you love him now? Wait until you read this book or listen to this book. So you will just love him so much.
And you'll love the writing too. Okay, let's get into these quick hits, shall we? Mascot. We have mascot mayhem.
Mascot
we always
craziness.
Love when we have a good story about a
so
mascot.
So the Philly Fanatic. You know the story about.
So the company that created the Philly Fanatic, which
back in like I want to say like
79.
No, it was like late. I don't know. Maybe it was.
I think it was 70s.
Okay.
They said they're going to terminate it as a mascot.
Right. They're like, we own the rights to it. You can't have it anymore. We're going to sort of end this thing and make a statue and be done with it. And you got to come up with something new.
Which, by the way, feels like such a dick move, right?
Yeah.
Why?
I mean, as somebody, family over there, I think everyone's like devastated.
That's like the Philly Fanatic is
the East Coast San Diego Chicken. I mean, there was no one, you know what I mean? Like, there was nobody over there. Like, what other mascot?
Mr. Met? What a lame ass bitch.
Like,
Mr. Met.
There's
Are you kidding me?
Orioles thing. Like, there's nothing over on the East Coast.
Nothing.
Like, okay,
Boston needs like a bean or something. I don't know. I feel like Boston.
Like Saki the Red
something.
Sox.
Hey, you're not going to believe. Shut your fucking mouth. Like, that
stupid
needs to be.
Idiot.
You dummy.
I'll knock your block off.
A sock? A drunk sock?
A drunk sock.
A large drunk sock.
Look,
could be the mascot.
It could be a thing.
An upside down the sock is out there. That would be an unbelievable thing.
You better at them.
You hear
Come
me,
on.
Red Sox?
Red
this
Sox,
is happening.
Do it. Make it happen.
So then
you can be funnier than the Sam Adams guy.
Right.
So
your Boston cousin. So the Phillies were like, we're not going to take this lying down. I mean, the Fanatic is fun, and the Fanatics.
Yeah, we're Philly.
Yeah, Philly.
We're not going to take this wine.
We're
going to
throw a fit.
We're going to throw it.
And so they like went to court and they made enough changes. It's almost like, you know how like when you do it's like the Simpsons will do a song that sounds like the song, but they'll change the fifth
one
note.
Little, yeah.
One note, it goes down instead of up, and you're like, well,
this is the words of wisdom.
Let it be.
And you're like, sort of.
They kind of got
that counts.
So that's kind of what they
30 Rock, man. I'm blowing through 30 Rock with my son. We're binge watching it. It's the greatest thing in the world, and it couldn't. I forgot this moment, and it made me cackle out loud. They couldn't get the rights to Janis Joplin's Life, and Jenna Maroney was playing Janis over the loudspeaker. They didn't mention it until they answered, "Ladies and gentlemen, Janis Joplin." Janis Joplin.
Incredible.
So that's what they're doing with the
Philly
Fanatic.
They're kind of trying to
Joplin it.
Adjust the nose back a little bit and like change it. And still the company was like, yeah, you can't do that.
Yeah,
you
they're
can't
not
do
buying it.
But then a judge was like, yeah, they can. This is going to remain the Fanatic.
Because the judge probably eating like a
fat Pat's like cheesesteak. Gino steak. I'm gonna jam it.
I was just in Cherry Hill, and I heard you want to kill the Fanatic.
You're gonna kill the Fanatic anyway.
And so they saved it. It's so great because, like, you know, like people in Philly are gonna find out who this company is, and they're gonna start throwing batteries.
Throw batteries at the door.
Oh my god!
Right,
it's another level.
Philly fans.
Another level.
And Philly. And by the way, the Phillies will not win a World Series.
Nope.
The Sixers got as close as they're going to get.
As close as they're going to get unless they get rid of Ben Simmons.
If I say anything about the Sixers, I will be attacked by a mob.
So
we'll
say it. I think Ben Simmons should go to the Golden State Warriors, and that's me, because he doesn't want to shoot and everybody else wants to shoot.
I think you're better off with Richard Simmons on your team than Ben Simmons. At least that guy can shoot free throws.
I think that Ben Simmons should call me back to do a story.
Yes.
What's up?
Does he have the yips? Does he not? What's going on there?
Is it Kardashian yips? Like, you know, when you start getting with those Instagram models and you start to Tyler Hero has the same.
You go from the hips to the yips. I know.
Deep cut.
Tyler Hero, kind of the same story.
Okay.
Dude, get off of these internet models. Get off of these IG. My friend who's a deep, deep, deep Miami guy, Juan Duenas. He's an awesome dude. He owns My Mixtape, which is like sort of the soundtrack of the league. All these hip hop artists and all this stuff. He's a brilliant dude and a huge Miami Heat fan. He's like Tyler Hero, and he knows that whole culture. He's like, Tyler Hero got destroyed by IG models.
I profile Tyler. Like, I spent so much time with him and his family. It's so bizarre to me.
That it's happening.
Other element to his life, because people forget, like, he was never supposed to make the NBA.
No,
people
thought he was a child, by the way.
People thought he was crazy that he declared for the draft.
Oh yeah.
I mean, even signing at UK, like, that was crazy because he decommitted from his Wisconsin school. Mm-hmm. And so I'm personally shocked, but again, like, what if Tyler went to the Bucks? Would his career be completely different because there's nothing there to distract you?
Yes, I think so.
But Miami and the Heat are, in my opinion, run like the Tampa Bay Rays.
Right.
Like, they figure out a way to
like Duncan Robinson,
hold on, I'm going to wring a little bit more of talent out of Duncan Robinson. And, I mean,
it's Pat Riley, though.
But look at Bam.
Bam is amazing. Bam, he didn't have this great of a year last year, but I think he is.
He has the potential.
That's Juwan Howard.
Good.
That's Juwan Howard. As Michigan guys, that is Juwan Howard. He took that guy and made him what he max contracted.
And may he do it for Michigan players for the rest of our goddamn
lives. Right. There you go. All right. So next.
Lance Lynn. Did you see the pitch?
You think about the idea of.
Threw his belt at an umpire.
Did you see that?
So, I didn't see it.
This is crazy. So, of course, every pitcher. Every pitcher gets their stuff checked in between innings. Doesn't matter what you threw. You could have thrown all fastballs. You're going to get your hat checked. You're going to get your glove checked. Somebody said like a position player came in to throw.
Right.
And he got it. Like a position player. That's like our mom came in for my daughter's bat mitzvah and she had broken her ankle and she was in a wheelchair. And they like took her around the side of TSA and rubbed it down and took the bomb thing out and brought a dog over. I'm like, get the fucking dog out of here.
Get the dog out of here.
This is an old
Jewish
lady.
Don't check a shortstop's glove for like stuff. He's not going to. He just gave up 12 runs in one inning.
Why?
You think he's throwing junk out there? Come on.
Oh my God.
So Lance Lynn got so mad. And Lynn is like, he is a hothead. So Lynn gets so mad. He just takes off his hat, leaves it on like the edge of the railing of the dugout. Guy comes over and checks it. And from inside the dugout, you see it because the camera's on it. All of a sudden, a belt comes flying at the guy. I'm like, oh, we're now throwing belts
That's
at
what's
people?
Happening now. Okay.
And he got booted.
What if he was like, because you know, like, if you watch The Voice, and like when someone likes, they're singing, like, you know, like I would say Christina Aguilera would like take off her shoe and just throw it at them.
Yeah.
That was like, you did a good job.
Yeah.
I got
I don't even need to press the button.
I got to take off clothing and throw to you. What if Lance Lynn was like, this is me saying you're doing a great job, sir?
What if that's what it was?
He should play that angle.
I'm going to say that's not what it was.
Lance Lynn is a hothead. As soon as Lance Lynn started taking off his belt, like 12 people should have tackled him. And been like, dude, we need you out there.
Please stop.
You're a Cy Young Award winning pitcher, potentially.
All right, last story. I want to know how you feel about this. The public proposal, the at a sporting event. Like, it's pretty like peer pressure-y. It's way too much pressure. Unless you're like,
or for the woman who gets asked. I mean, by the way, it can reverse, and I think it should reverse now where women can ask dudes.
Yeah.
But like, women, dudes, I want to see it. Whoever is being asked,
you better know what they better already sort of pre-said yes.
Because to me, it's like a public breakup where you do it publicly because you don't want the person to go that crazy. We're going to do it at a Starbucks midday.
Right.
Like if she says no, the crowd's going to boo her.
Right.
It's so not fair.
Yeah.
No, you're for it.
No, I mean, I don't know how I feel. I mean, to be honest, I've been in Giannis land for like, it's been hard for me to like really dive deep onto anything else.
But do you, but you've been to a stadium.
Yeah. Have you ever seen a public proposal before?
Yes. And it's the subject of one of my favorite romance novels by Jasmine Guillory. It's called The Proposal.
Really?
Oh, yeah, God. It's really cute.
And so it's okay for you.
It's annoying. It's like, okay, if this happened to me, I would just die. Like, that would be the worst.
Right, because what if you are not 100% sure that this is
the
person?
So this is
the
plot of Jasmine Guillory's novel. Okay. She's like, she's like, I can't do this.
Right.
And this
she
is
walks
too
away
much.
And she gets booed
and
like
crazy.
And
it's the worst.
And if it's Philly, they're throwing batteries at her.
Oh my God, it's the worst.
Why don't you marry him?
Go hang with him.
What's
take him to the Wawa, Fifth
yeah.
and Locust. Go yeah. grab a water ice.
Rita's? Okay.
Yeah, so the point is that, like, it's great. So there's a crazy story here. So all those public proposals, public, like, weird things on scoreboards.
Okay, it's too much.
It's too much. So
I'm going to get to the
get
thing
to
that was
the
on
thing
the scoreboard.
On the red scoreboard, and we'll show it to you. This is just, here, click on that. Yeah, this is just so funny. Read the first two things there, okay, Jay?
Caitlin. Oh my God!
Reb's group messages on the scoreboard where they're like, "Happy birthday,
or
Mirren.
Kiwanis Club of
oh my
welcome
God.
The kindergarten class of something." All right, so here are the first two messages.
Reb's group messages, Caitlin, I was wrong.
Oh my God!
So personal.
Wait.
Starting from that point,
Caitlin, I was wrong. If you have to get her back on the red
the
scoreboard.
The only way you can reach her is through the red scoreboard. She ain't coming back.
She's gone.
She's gone.
She's gone. You
she's
fucked
gone.
Up.
She's the opposite of Tiffany Haddish. She ready? She gone. She ready to leave.
All right.
Okay.
I was wrong. Talk to me, bro. Tom.
Talk to me, Tom. Now, I mean, could have been Tom Brennan.
And then right underneath that, for signs and symptoms of stroke, call 911. Then, happy birthday, Kaylee. We love you. Happy 40th birthday, Colin.
So you see how
happy 60th birthday, Scott. How inappropriate is that?
It?
First one, Caitlin, I was wrong.
Call
talk,
me.
Talk to me.
Talk to me.
These dudes are crazy, and we need to stop giving them a platform.
Thank you.
She's
like
not,
someone at the Red should have been like, we can't put this up
like,
on the board. I don't care
like,
how much money they pay.
Maybe Tom is cray. Maybe she doesn't want to go near him. Maybe he's a psycho.
Right. And so like what
we
you're
can't
gonna,
be. We, yeah, we can't even be rooting for
but
Tom.
But what you're
going
to get is that a lot of people in the crowd being like, come on,
give
Caitlin.
Him a chance.
Yeah, listen to what he has to say. Like now you've got maybe because there's never more than 20,000
Tom's drinking problem could be out of control.
Tom could be out here putting her out and then being psychotic and pretending like she's the one that was like goodbye. Like he could be creating a whole narrative that's
thank
not
you.
True.
He's gaslighting her
finally,
from the scoreboard.
Happy,
look at that.
Happy 75th birthday, Jerry Marinovich. Love Terry. So it's Terry and Jerry.
Like Tom sitting there going like, hey, Caitlin, why can't we be like Terry and Jerry? I want to wish you a happy 75th
birthday. The 911 was properly placed, okay?
And like in parentheses, like Caitlin, if you
Caitlin,
have a problem,
girl, run.
Nod listen. Twice
oh
if you need
God.
Us at 911.
Okay, so again, the rise. This is the rise of it's the improbable rise of an NBA MVP, Giannis. The improbable rise of
yes.
an NBA.
You just got to remember Giannis, though. That's
why
part.
We made it the title.
That's
so
easy.
Simple.
So you'll find it that way. Get the audio book. Get the actual book. Read it over.
Read her writing.
Weekend.
Fantastic pieces all the way. I read all of them on your site too. Just
thank
awesome.
You.
Super good.
Thank
we're
you.
Fans.
And all those people in this podcast, we said Ben Simmons get on the horn. Anybody else who you need
Kawhi,
to talk to?
Kawhi get up on this.
Luca.
We'll talk
Luca.
About what's going on
come
in your
on,
life.
Guys.
Let's
we'll
talk
have a little
to her.
Therapy session.
She knows how to write about you. She'll paint you in the light that you should be painted in.
And also show everything, warts and all. It's
yeah.
the whole deal.
I love it. This is what being a journalist is.
Right.
We'll be back with a very special guest on the other side of this. This is View from the Cheap Seats.
I reach out so I can feel it.
Hey guys, that was a fantastic
Mirren
interview.
Fader.
Mirren Fader,
so cool.
Unbelievable.
Could she be cooler?
I love her.
I love that she played basketball for Lewis and Clark. Incredible. And an amazing book. I'm going to get that, you know, just you should get that right away. And to wrap things up today, I believe, as if you thought that you know, Rudy Giuliani couldn't fall any further from grace. He was seen shaving
at the airport, eating food.
Okay, so
shaving his face at the airport.
Why does he not have another place that he can shave? Well, you know what? We've got Rudy Giuliani with us. We will ask him right now. Rudy Giuliani, welcome to the show. Why?
Hey!
It's not funny. No one said anything funny yet. Why were you shaving at the airport?
Comedy's in the eye of the beholder. Why was I shaving at the airport? Well, here's the thing, guys. Fellas, you really have to look at the situation in its entirety. You know, first off, it was an electric shaver.
It was an electric shaver.
The whiskers are encased inside the mesh protector.
Still, but should you be shaving?
It's such a weird thing to shave over food
at
in
a
the airport with no mask on.
Here's the thing. It's like a smokeless ashtray. Ron Popeil may rest in peace. Recently deceased.
He did.
So, look, food, whatever. Look, there are so many restrictions these days in airports and everywhere else. I don't know where I can do anything. Okay, I mean, can I go to the bathroom I go to the bathroom, or do I have to, you know, do a sneak a leak on the moving sidewalk?
Sneak a leak sounds like. Yeah, that actually
what you did in the Borat movie.
Yeah.
Wait, so what do you can understand why people would be upset with you or think it's odd behavior from a man who they're already questioning some of his
that
mental
makes
faculty.
Me say do
odd
you
behavior. Hold on, wait a second.
Yeah.
You want to know what odd behavior is?
Sure.
I go to these airports. Everyone's got on these face restraints. Okay, these fences around your schnoz.
Right.
And I'm thinking, hey, listen. You know, I'm not going to wear that face restraint to fight the sniffle bugs. That's not how I roll.
No,
you know?
you need to
roll. You can actually see my face, and so I'm grooming it. So, you know, let's call it what it is, guys. There's a lot of strange things. I think I'm in the orb of normal, as I like to call it.
Well, listen, you're not. You're trying to make money, and I just found out that you're on Cameo, which means people can send you things to say, messages to say back to them.
Yes, that's true. They can do this. In fact, hold it. These things are time sensitive.
You're gonna do one right now? Okay, go ahead.
Do it, Cameo.
Hey, Tina. I hear you just turned 21. Mm-hmm. Hear, hear. I remember 21. Actually, it's a little blurry, but I think I was in an alley in the meatpacking district.
Oh, God.
Introducing my face to a patch of greasy cobblestone. Anyway, I wish I could be there with my razor to do some shaving. Okay, enjoy your birthday. And
all right.
Click. Okay. Sorry.
All right.
They make me do these things.
No one is making you do anything.
Well, what if someone said that you need to say on your Cameo that the election was not stolen? You have to, or else you're not going to get the money for it. What if they said that?
Oh.
Yep.
Now you're in a bind.
Now you're in a conundrum. And then people could take
that. Hold on.
You got another Cameo.
Here's what I can say. Here's what I would say. Mm-hmm. If they were asking me to say
the election was not stolen. Yeah, what would you say?
I would go ahead and say the election was not stolen.
Uh-huh.
And then once they had that message, if they were to broadcast that message in any way, shape, or form outside the immediate
which
realm,
they're allowed to
the two or three people that they've said this is for, some birthday party or whatever,
yeah, sure.
I would then turn around and I would sue them for defamation of character.
But you can't practice law.
For an outright lie.
It's not an outright lie. You cannot
if
practice
they're saying it is.
No, they're saying it is. Well, you're trying to shave a little off the truth, is what you're trying
to
do.
Well,
what
I'm telling you is when lies are told by liars, we have to think about what the motivations are behind why they wouldn't be telling the truth.
And?
That's it.
Oh, that's it. All right, Rudy.
Hold on.
Oh, God. Yes.
Hit the record. Okay. Benjamin. Hey, I know a Benjamin. Benjamin Netanyahu. Yahoo. He's the former Israeli prime minister. Great guy. But you know that because you are Jewish.
Oh,
and this is
God.
Your bar mitzvah.
Oh, Jesus.
Abba Nagila, Guantanamera. Make the West Bank great again. Okay.
No.
What do we do next? Anything? No? Okay. Have a good one, Bonnie.
Okay. All right, okay. You are clearly busy.
We'll let you get back to your cameos, but please stop shaving in airports.
Or make enough money that you can have a bathroom where you can shave in the bathroom. Don't shave in public anymore, okay?
At the very least, hey, listen, you should be in the first class lounge.
I just want to tell you, if I offended anyone, if I hurt anyone's feelings, if I made someone feel uncomfortable.
Sure.
Sorry. Rudy Giuliani on Cameo. Come to me, baby. Come.
All right. Okay. There you go. Right. And that is the show, guys. Rudy Giuliani. Do not follow him. Do not get a cameo from him under any circumstance. Don't give that guy any more money. No. He doesn't need
no
it.
No need.
He doesn't need it, even though he needs a place to shave. We have the Sklar Brothers, Mirren Fader. So great.
Fantastic.
Check out her book, Giannis, the Improbable Rise of an NBA MVP. Join our Patreon. We got new episodes of Cheap Seats, extra content from each of these interviews with these guests, plus extra weekly Patreon pods. Thank you to the great Chris Cox. What a talent. What a friend. Love him. Follow him. Follow him on Instagram
at Chris Cox Box.
And Punch a Waterfall. We'll see you next week.
Star Brands Avenue, a podcast network.